Now let's continue on. Just a little more about the situation with the Sunday keeping pastor who was here. Shows this. Perfect example of what Jesus said. In hearing, they shall not understand. In seeing, they shall not see. They want their own version of what God wants. See? That's why I emphasized in the beginning, do you believe God? And at what point do you come down in your spiritual house to where you no longer believe God and want to believe what you want to believe because of your own circumstances? That's what it gets down to. See, it's convenient to believe God as long as everything is fine and wonderful. Well, what if you've got to give your life? Do you still believe God? See, that's what we're into. And that's where it is in the world. That's where it is in the church. And until all the churches of God and all the ministers of God and all the brethren of God come to the point of believing and loving God in the covenant that they made with Him, they are going to be in varying degrees of the seven attitudes of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And with the churches, God was not pleased with most of them, right? And why was that? Because they only went so far in believing God. And their sacrifice to God was only so much of their life. Not all of it. But it was very evident having that Pastor Franklin here, as he called his name, to sit through as much as he did. Now let's continue on here in Deuteronomy 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 10. Because here's a very important point. And this is something that we all need to realize and understand. And it is a proclivity of human nature. He says, verse 10, "And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. And what have we done as a people? We have cursed God and despised the good land which He has given us and despised God and His commandments, didn't we?" Yes. And what happens? People go out and go their own way then, don't they? Do what they want to do, don't they? Then he says, verse 11, "Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command you this day." Now, what does he mean in forgetting God? Not only in the commandments, but let's see what he emphasizes here the rest of the way through. Because there still is a problem with some people in the church and even some ministers in the churches of God. "Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied." That's precisely where we are today. Did not God fulfill that for Israel today? Yes, indeed. "Then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God." That's what people do. And one of the ways that people forget God is that they focus in on some corrupt minister or some corrupt brethren and judge God on their behavior, and that is a fatal mistake. Your heart be lifted up. That means that you go against God. That you do as Cain did. You start deciding what God should accept from you or not. And you decide how much of God's word you're going to obey or not, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought where there was no water, who brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not, that he might humble you and that he might prove you to do your good at your latter end. Now, why has God called us? Why do we go through all the things that we go through? And I don't think any of us today, though we have all the physical comforts and everything, we have a multitude of different trials and difficulties, especially living in the sex-addicted and drug-addicted society and world that we live in now. It affects 80 to 90% of all families, or you know someone who has been afflicted by it. Living in a land where everything is so convenient, you know, to keep the Sabbath, to keep the holy days, to keep all of these things that runs counter to the whole society and counter to the way that the world is, you see. God wants to do your good in your latter end. What's the greatest good that God wants to do in the latter end? What is your latter end? It's not your posterior that you're sitting on. Your latter end is what? The resurrection. Isn't that the greatest good that God can do for you? Of course. Now here's where we're coming. Because in this world, it all comes down to money. And that you say in your heart, my power and my might has gotten me this wealth. Why, we are great, wise, inventive people, and we have brought all this to ourselves. Right, as a nation, isn't that what we heard? American ingenuity, etc., etc. Watch out for the Chinese. Okay? What is he talking about in forgetting God? Let's understand something about wealth. Who gives you wealth? Verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for he it is that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to his fathers, as it is this day. The bottom line gets down to wealth. The bottom line is that since God has given us the world, all mankind, and he's given us these things, God has a share in it. Now, people think that by their wise investments and manipulations or buying and selling or working or whatever, that they get wealth themselves. Let me tell you a truism, absolute living law. Doesn't matter how hard you work, doesn't matter how smart you are, if God does not bless you, you can't do it. Now, for a while, you may do things like in the current scandal, which is just one of many, Abramoff and the government. He did it through stealth. He did it through lying. He did it through cheating and so forth. And there is prosperity for the wicked for a while. We understand that. However, let's also understand that in forgetting God, and of course today there's every reason to forget God, because you have so much. And also because we have so much, we have so much of our income committed to maintaining what we have, don't we? See? And what is the very first thing that people do? One of the very first things. They quit tithing, right? Now what happens? People get mad and angry about this point. There are going to be some people turn off. this tape because I had the gall and audacity to mention tithing and offerings. But you see, what you need to realize is this. Not everything you make belongs to you. You need to realize that. Because whatever you have, God gave you the power to get wealth. And God will bless you if you keep His commandments and tithe. And what happens? What happens? Now, let's notice here, verse 19. And it shall be, if you do at all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. Now, we can see that happen in the churches of God, correct? Yes. Yes, indeed. Just witness, Worldwide Church of God had everything. Yes, they did extract from the brethren in ways that they should not have. But also, brethren were guilty of trying to get something from God by following a man. So you've got both things in play there, you see. And where are they now? Worshipping other gods? Sunday keeping? Where are the campuses? All three? Gone. Where are the buildings? Gone. Why? Because they rejected God, forgot God. First of all, you forget God. When you forget God, you start doing your own way. And when you start doing your own way, then you start telling God what to do. And all of those who do not believe in tithing on their income, and all those churches who do not believe in tithing but giving offerings, what do? They have another way, don't they? They have pledges, right? Yes. They sell and merchandise things, right? Yes. That's why God gave tithing. Now he says, verse 20, you shall surely perish as the other nations which the Lord destroyed before you, so shall you perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now let's see what God said concerning the tithe. Let's understand one thing concerning tithing. Come to Numbers 18. Numbers 18. Now, this is very important. Because a lot of people think that if they tithe and give offerings, that somehow they're going to be deprived. Well, no. Is God able to bless you because you do? And how is God able to bless you? In many, many ways besides financial gain or whatever. Understanding the Word of God, loving God, our whole relationship with God. Okay? Now let's come here to Numbers 18 and verse 20. The Lord spoke to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land. That is, the tribe of Levi would not have a geographical territory. They were given different cities within all the tribes of Israel. Neither shall you have any part among them. I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I've given the children of Levi, now read very carefully, all the tenth in Israel. Now, who did the giving? God did. Did he give something that was not his? No. This is his. God says in other places, all gold and all the silver is mine. This is God's. He gave it. All the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now then. all the tithe is an all-inclusive statement which is not restricted to agricultural or animal products. If you dig the brass, if you dig the iron, if you dig the gold and you dig the silver, is that not wealth that God created? If you extract the oil and the natural gas, is that not wealth that God has created? Did that not come from God? Who made it? God did. So he gave the power to get wealth. Now also, if you work, who gave you the mind, the hands, your body, everything about you to be able to work and to produce? God did. Whatever the nature of your work is, God did. See? And if we do not base what we do on the truth and understand overall that God owns the tithe, that's his. When people give a tithe, they are not giving of their own, they're giving to God what is his. That's what they're doing. Now then, let's come here to Haggai, the first chapter. And here again is another principle. Haggai, the first chapter. Now here it was under Joshua and Zerubbabel, and they were building the second temple. After they came out of the first contingency coming back from Babylon. Now, have we been called out of Babylon? Have we been called out of this world? Yes, we have. And Christ is building a temple, isn't he? The church. We are a temple of God, having the Spirit of God in us, correct? Yes. So there are many, many, many analogies and parables that you can draw. Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They all have other things that they're going to do. And this is exactly a situation that we have today, isn't it? Oh, well, the Lord didn't return in 1975 or 88 or 89 or 93 or 95 or 99 or 2000 or 2002, 2004, and here we are in 2006, and it looks like the long haul is still ahead of us, right? It's not time. Well, we don't know what God has in mind, do we, see? Then the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet came, saying, is it time for you, O you, that to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So what were they doing? They weren't tithing, they weren't giving offerings, and they were putting it all into their own properties, their own way of living, right? Let me tell you something that's going to happen one of these days. How soon down the road? I don't know. But when I drive around and I see all these houses and look at the real estate pages and see all these inflated prices, and I see where people are having to make house payments of anywhere from $1,000 to $4,000 a month in payment for these houses and have these jobs and everything. One day, something's going to happen. You wait. Because as the people of Israel living in the land, they have forgotten God and gone after their own lust and their own ways and stealing from God. So because if it belongs to him, it is his, right? And if you use that which is his, now a lot of people are not going to like, and last time I gave a sermon where I used Malachi 3, I got a nasty letter from someone who was supposed to be a converted church member. Well, I didn't put Malachi 3 in the Bible. So if you're still smoking, put it in your pipe and smoke it. Okay? Now, verse 5, Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. In other words, stop and think about what you're doing in relationship to God, and spiritually, we can say, in relationship to your spiritual building, which you are building before Christ, which God wants you to do. And this happens whenever people steal tithes and offerings. This happens. I have never seen it fail yet. And I know people who used to tithe but don't, and now they don't have a nickel sideways to do anything because of everything that's come upon them. It says here, you've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but none is warm. And he that earns wages to put it in a bag with holes. So we're not talking about bringing animals, are we? We are not talking about bringing agricultural goods, are we? We are talking about wages, which most of us are on today, right? Now, some of you are on the government wage. Earn wages to put in a bag with holes. That's what happens when you forget God. Yes, you can use it. Yes, you can take it. Yes, you can steal it. Yes, you can forget God. Yes, you can be mad at any minister you want to get mad at when he preaches about tithing, but nevertheless, you stand or fall before God, and not by your own thoughts and not by a minister. So he says, consider your ways. You go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. Now, if we're busy about doing the spiritual building in our lives, of building the spiritual characters and qualities of God, as exemplified by Galatians 5 and 2 Peter, the first chapter, then everything that we do will be in that perspective, won't it? Yes. And we are to be glorified by letting God be glorified in us by His Spirit, by doing the things that God wants us to do, to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being, and be dedicated to Him and not to self. So He wants you to work. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. Man, does that not describe today and this nation and what is happening? The more they spend, the more they have, the more they need, the more in debt they go, and they're about ready to raise the national debt for just the United States government to $10 trillion. And no, that is going to have a tremendous impact on the financial markets of the world. And that's going to happen in February or March this year. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. In other words, instead of having a blessing, it just sort of seems to disappear. Why? Because you're spending everything on your own lusts and everything on what you want to give. Okay? Did blow upon it. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which is waste. And you run every man to his own house. You're going about your own business. You're going about doing things the way you want to do them rather than the way God wants to do them. Look, if you are Christ, body, soul, and spirit, and you're to live by every word of God, what should we do? Think about it. You know, you have to judge your own circumstances. You have to judge your own way. You have to go before God and yourself. You know, if you say, oh, I've forgotten tithing, so I'm going to tithe now so I can get a blessing of God, don't necessarily think that you're going to, because you have to have your heart right with God. You're not going to buy salvation. You're not going to buy off God. And neither are you going to prosper by stealing from God. So all of that combined, you see. So therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit, And I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men and upon cattle and all the labor of their hands. And we can say this. And God called for a drought and destruction upon the churches of God because of their arrogance, because of their lying and cheating and stealing, because of the governmental structure that they have, because brethren who were not brethren, false brethren crept in. All of these things, and this has happened to the church, and look where we are today. Think about it. We're kind of down where it was with Elijah. You know, he ran down to Mount Horeb and said, "Oh God, I. Where are the people of God? And what are they doing? And where are they going?" And let's ask ourselves the question, what are we doing? Where are we going? And how are we headed? And are we really building on the truth of God or not? Or are we building on sin? Are we building on Christ? What is it that we are doing? You know, it's all going to come out in the long run, isn't it? Yes, it is. And we're all going to have to stand before the throne of God and each one give account for ourselves. So, you know, in bringing these things out and talking about them and showing what the Word of God says, don't be mistaken for 1 minute that I'm trying to club you over the head so you can send in more money. We live within our budget. We live within what God inspires to be sent in. And we don't club people over the head to get money. We don't send dunning letters either. We do mention tithes and offerings. And once a year, I give a sermon on tithes and offerings so we can evaluate where we are and where we're going, where we're headed, what we're doing. And it's all part of our relationship with God. So then they repented. And they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. See, so this is what you obey. You obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now let's go to Proverbs 3 first, and then we'll go to Malachi 3. Proverbs 3. Now let's pick it up here. In verse 5. This is the whole thing and everything we do. And let me tell you something. What also motivated this sermon was this. We send out New Testament soft cover to those who are incarcerated, free. And we send out a lot of them. So we've had to reorder to have them reprinted. There's this one man in prison. He says, "I'm going to get out in 10 years. He says, "I have no money, don't earn any money, but I do have some stamps, so I want to tithe my stamps. My stamps are my tithe." And so here is a pitiful 6 or 8 37-cent stamp. And I think, what a testimony that is to those who don't believe in tithing, who have everything, who lack nothing, and have no room to tithe, spend all their money on whatever, or give a little pittance of something once in a while. And then I see the widows dedicated to God who send in $5 and $10, who live on Social Security. And living on Social Security, you're not required to tithe because that is not an increase to you. That is subsistence living. And they send in their offerings from that. And then I look at people who have plenty and have lots and do nothing, and provide nothing. Now, I'm not judging you. I'm just bringing out some examples so that you can tell yourself and sit down and have a talk with yourself, what am I doing before God? See? That's what it's about. Because if you are right spiritually before God, giving tithes and offerings on the holy days becomes something that you want to do, you're willing to do, you plan to do. And God will bless you in everything that you do when you do it. But notice, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, which is what everybody is doing. In all your ways, not some of your ways, part of your ways, most of your ways, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Now, isn't that what you want God to do? Yes, indeed, see? Be not wise in your own eyes, see? Now, He says, don't lead your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now, we've covered this on the Addicted Society. I realize that. But it also ties in with what we're covering here on tithes and offerings. Honor the Lord with your substance. Now, substance, what is that? Substance is anything. Anything that is wealth that you have. So I'm thinking about that inmate who sent in those 37-cent stamps. And then I know that there are a lot of people on our mailing list, and we're happy to do so. We're happy to send them, even though they don't send anything, so that you know that we don't charge for things. We give you New Testaments. We give you all the booklets and everything like that. And there are people who send in money so we can do it. So you need to realize that, okay, with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your presses may burst out with new wine. In other words, that God is going to bless you above and beyond what you think. Okay. Now let's come to Malachi 3. This dreaded, hateful place. Book of Malachi. Okay. Now, I know there are going to be some. Take me off your mailing list because you read Malachi 3. All right, go. You're a free moral agent. All right. Malachi 3 and verse 7. Now, this includes more than just tithing. But this is a very interesting thing. Where do you begin? Verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. If you want God on your side, He tells you how to do it. Says the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Now, how are we going to do this, Lord? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Now, tithing is optional. You can't rob God. Can you? No. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, and you say, now, Aaron, we've robbed you. How could that be? We haven't gone to heaven. We haven't held up the angels. We haven't gone in and chipped off the gold off your throne. How have we robbed you? And he says, and tithes and offerings. Now, for some people, that's like dagger in the heart when you read that, right? Then you need to ask the question, do you believe God? Do you believe what Jesus said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God? What do you really believe? See? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, is this nation in this state right now?
Oh,
yes, indeed. Are the churches of God in this state? In many cases, yes. And what are our personal lives? What are the difficulties that we have? Could it be that some of them surround this? Could it be that in deciding your own way and what you will and will not do and tell God what to do, just like Cain did, you know, just because it comes from the mouth of a minister, you reject it? Well, if I read the Word of God, it is the Word of God and not my words and not my manipulation of it, but speaking the truth. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and prove me. Now, God says, you prove me. Gives you a challenge. Are you willing to take up the challenge of God? Because God is proving your heart. So he says back in Deuteronomy 8, right? Yes. Are you willing to prove God? Are you willing to come to God and say, oh, God, I realize what I've done. Now help me. Strengthen me, let me prove you. I come to you and claim your promise, not because I'm great, but because you have given your word. Prove me. Now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Can God do that or not? Can God bless what you have or not? Yes, he can. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, how many devourers are out there today? Well, a lot of people are so far in debt, what is the greatest devourer that they have? It's called interest. Does that not devour your income? You know, you get a 30-year loan on a house, and the first month you make the payment, you pay a pittance of pennies on the principal, and all of the rest is interest. And you get a loan for $100,000. By the time you pay it back, you pay $220,000. What about credit cards? What about all these things? What about all the mismanagement of your financial life because you haven't tithed and had the discipline to understand that you have to honor God first? And how many things are you being devoured by? I mean, you look at it. I don't know your life. All I know is the Word of God. Devoured. Okay? Rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither cast your vines cast their fruit before time in the field, says the Lord. Now think about work. Think about job. Think about what God can do. Think about how many people God has to bless and prosper in this economy so each one of us can have a job, so that we can live and exist and we can give God his tithe. Think about it. Where do you work? How many people work there? How many people does God have to bless so he can bless you? An amazing thing, isn't it? Quite an amazing thing. Verse 12, and all the nations shall call you blessed. Of course, they will at the resurrection, won't they? For you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Oh, we don't have to keep the Sabbath. We don't have to keep the holy days. And beside, boy, I'm sure glad I'm a Gentile because I can eat shrimp and lobster and pork and all that stuff. How about that? It's like one woman who gave up on God because she was mad at a man, divorced her husband, and went out and got hooked up with some man in the world and started eating all kinds of unclean food. And one of the favorite things they would do would be eat raw ground pork meat. She died from eating that raw pork sausage. Now, someone in the world not knowing the truth, they probably could have gotten by with it. But somewhere along the line, God has to be severe in his judgment to us if we just utterly reject him. So think about it. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? God, we love you. We'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do the other thing, but don't ask me to tithe. Don't ask me to give offerings. Now, I'll give if I'm willing. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in tithing, I believe in giving. Oh, okay. How do you do that? Well, I think we should give more than tithing. And it has never, never, never failed. They don't ever come close to doing that. You have said it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept this ordinance? Now, that kept his ordinance. That means any one of his, any of the commandments. We walk mournfully before the Lord our God. Oh, yeah, I'll tithe. Yes. Woo! See, what's this talking about? Now, we call the proud happy. Look at all of those out there in the world. They're prospering. They're getting along. But I'm having troubles and difficulties and whatever it may be. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up, and yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Than they that fear the Lord. You see, shows the difference, right? If you don't fear God, if you don't love God, that's how you're going to be toward God, right? Yes. And I've seen it happen with even those who are called brethren, even those who are so-called elders and ministers in the Church of God come to that point. However, God always has the remnant few that are faithful to serve him. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them. Now this includes the whole gamut of everything, not just tithes and offerings, but all the commandments of God, all the growing in character and grace and knowledge that we have in the New Testament, you see. God is writing it down. There's a book of remembrance. You know, today in this world, you have what is called a credit report, right? You can go online and get your free credit report. What's written about you? Well, God has a book of remembrance about each one of us. I wonder what's under each name. Because it's there, isn't it? And doesn't God say we're going to give account for every idle word that we speak? Isn't that true? Yes. A book was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord. Yes, you are the first fruits. In the day that I make up my jewels, because there's a crown of life going to be made for you. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. So where are we today in tithes and offerings? Now, every year at this time, we all get focused in on finances, don't we? And everybody is waiting for that dreaded 1040 form to come through the mail from the government or wherever it is in the land that you live in, and the government's going to take its taxes, right? And you know you're going to pay because they're going to come and get it one way or the other, right? Yes. So you do it voluntarily in most cases. However, people feel as though that they have liberty to rob God. And God somehow is going to overlook it, and they're going to get away with it. Well, if you can't get away with it with the federal government or the national government, how do you suppose you're ever going to do it with God? Okay. That's where we are in it. So, anyway, the long and the short is this. God loves a cheerful giver and all the other things that we have. But since I promised I would give one sermon every year on tithes and offerings, this is it for this year.